shortest gospel, but it's not short on power. Let's talk about it with Angelo and Barbara Giuliani on Steve Brown, etc.
He's an old white guy, an author, broadcaster, and seminary professor who's sick of religion. And he's brought friends. Please welcome Steve Brown, etc.
Hey, we're so glad you're here. You always have a place at our table. And as I've often said, I'm really glad for the gift that you give us of your time. Try and remember that we give you a gift, too, so we're even. If you're wondering, I'm Steve, the aforementioned old white guy. Matthew Porter is our executive producer. He's here. Now that the summer vacation is over, Matthew's kids have started school again. There were some tears and cries of, this isn't fair. But eventually Matthew calmed down and it was okay. Yeah. Our producer Jeremy's in the little glass booth. Our producer is not a classy name dropper. However, he thinks his friend Kevin Max from DC Talk would agree with that. And our one-man IT department, John Myers, is here in the tech bunker. John says if you used to play the Pac-Man arcade game, it's probably, you're old. It's probably time to get some body part poked or examined. And Dr. George Bingham is the president of Key Life. George wonders what it means when you get a nasty paper cut while reading Lewis's The Problem of Pain. And Kathy Wyatt is the warm feminine side of the program. Kathy says a lot of online cooking influencers would be jobless if we could actually taste what they're cooking. And that's true.
You know, I never... Oh, yeah. Good writing, Matthew. I never thought of that.
We try.
We have some great guests here today. Reverend Angelo Giuliani is the founding pastor of Bridge Community Church. And he couldn't stop with that, so there's a whole network of Liberty Global Churches, international mission arm of the Liberty Communion of Churches. And Barbara, his wife, is also a board member at Key Life, so I will be particularly nice to her. She's a Bible teacher, the vice president of New Growth Press, and the author of several books and many books. And the Giuliani's newest project, which I hold in my nicotine-stained fingers, is a study guide called Mark, Life-Changing Power Through Jesus. We don't really have to do this program. I mean, if you want your life to change, read more Bible, pray a lot more, work a lot harder than you do at it, confess your sins immediately or you'll get cancer, because we know about the discipline passage, and stay on the straight and narrow so that you don't hurt your witness. That works, doesn't it?
It works.
Barbara, you, I would like to just say, you know, Barbara was raised in the church. She's a church kid. She was always nice, always good, always obedient. And she looks like a pretty nice person when you talk to her. But that wasn't always true, was it?
It was not. No, I stormed out of my family's home at the age of 18 and out of our church and said that I wasn't planning to come back to either one. And yeah, the Lord took me on a 7-year odyssey. And along the way, I picked up the Italian bartender that was working at the restaurant.
Good things happen. Good things do happen.
Angelo, I'm not sure you helped, though, at the beginning. And incidentally, that we kid around, that's a very serious issue. And there's a wonderful book, Come Back, Barbara, that Barbara wrote with her father, the late Jack Miller. And if you want to read that story, it would be, you'd love it. But we're not here to talk about that book. We're here to talk about the Gospel of Mark. Why Mark? I mean, there's a lot more information than the other three. I mean, if you're going to do a book, why don't you do the research and the most complete and not the shortest? What happened?
Well, time was a factor.
Time was definitely a factor.
No, I would say, I mean, Angelo had just preached through Mark, and these studies that we do, we start with the pastor's sermons, and us, and I had taught on Mark several times, and I love Mark.
It was the resource that was most available to us at that particular point.
And it was right at the beginning of COVID, right?
Yeah.
But Mark, so I'm a writer, and so I really admire good writing. And Mark is the most amazing book to read. Like, every word counts. Like, every word is picked on purpose. And he has this portrait of Jesus that is so human. That's what he really concentrates on, is what Jesus did and how he did it and who he did it with, don't you think?
Absolutely. And really writes it as an action adventure, which for us in our particular culture at this point, it's very much something that especially young people can connect with real quickly, because it's just presenting one after another of these amazing things that are happening in and through Jesus, and just sort of captures you in that way. Yeah.
As you guys have worked on this book, has it in any way affected you personally? I mean, you both have been walking with Jesus for a long time. You know, how many times have you read the Gospel of Mark? Probably 800 or 900 times. When you really bear down on it like you did with this book, what did you see that was new or that affected you personally?
That's a good question. I think for me, as I read it, especially in my different seasons of life, this word always comes to me in different ways, speaking to me at this point in my life when I'm now someone who's got the responsibility of working with so many missionaries and seeing life overseas and everything like that, being a part of that, the amazing power of Christ, both in the demonic world, but also in the ability to pray and see the power unleashed through the Holy Spirit, just made a different impact in my life. Yeah.
And I also, for me, so, you know, we talked about it, we worked on it, and I had Angela's sermons, I had the teaching that I did. And then I took it and wrote it, and I would make Angelo go over with me. But it was such a hard year. This has been such a hard year.
I know.
And this fall was you know, taking care of my 101-year-old mom, basically 24/7, and managing our family, my job, our 14 grandchildren, and all the struggles that come with it. I was thinking about this morning, because we're starting up our women's Bible study again, and I really want women to come. And so I always say, like, this is what you need to get through your life. Like, I'd be insane if I didn't have God's word, which they think I'm kidding, but I'm not. Anyway, and I was thinking, like, people want to think that it's like magic, like it just sort of, and I just thought, it's not magic, it's mana. Like, it's
provision.
You have to be meeting with Christ through his word all the time. And the Gospels are just such an amazing window into who Jesus is. And it's almost as if we need something different from Jesus every time, for through every season, like you said. And it's not different in a way, but it takes a shape based on what you are encountering at that very moment. So it's different for me than when I had little kids.
Oh, so good. And so true. We're going to get some details out of this when we come back. I remember Ruth Graham one time. She and her husband had come to the church I was serving, and an issue came out, and she got up her Bible and started thumbing through it. And she said, "I love these things because they send me to him." And amen. So that's what Mark does.
Yep.
Mark sends you to him. And we're going to talk about that when we come back. The title of the book is Mark, Life-Changing Power Through Jesus. And it's a study book. Hey, guys, don't go anywhere. Like Jesus, we're coming back.
Welcome to The Vault, your home for classic sermons from Steve from the 90s, the 80s, even all the way back to the early 70s. The Vault is a one-of-a-kind online experience where you can explore more than three decades of grace-filled messages. Get the details and check out a free audio sample at keylife.org/vault. That's keylife.org/VAULT.
Hi, this is Steve Brown, and in case you didn't know, one of the main reasons Key Life exists is to remind believers that God isn't mad at his children. Why am I telling you this? Because our weekly email, Key Life Connection, takes the best of the videos, articles, and puts them right in your inbox. We'd love for you to try it. It's free. Go to keylife.org/subscribe. Thanks for joining us. We're talking with Angelo and Barbara Giuliani. And their new book is a study guide, but not just a study guide. It will guide you through the Gospel of Mark, but it's a profound book in so many ways. It's titled Mark, Life-Changing Power Through Jesus.
Guys, earlier on the other side of the break, you know, we kind of touched on the idea that Mark is actually a great entry point for somebody who has not encountered Jesus. Usually John is the one that gets teed up, but you guys made a really great point that it's kind of punchy, it's concise. I don't know if it's too far to say that Mark is the Hemingway of the gospel writers, but
I think that's a good description. Yeah. I wouldn't have thought of it myself, but I like it.
It's yours. So he's in good health. But even with that shorter view of the gospel story, Mark concludes some things that aren't in the others, which is improbable, right? You would think. Mm-hmm. So would you touch on that? I mean, not just events, but what kind of perspective does he bring that the other gospel writers don't?
Well, I think that you can jump in here whenever you want.
I will.
there's actually so much. One of the interesting things about Mark, everybody's interested in, you know, the original sources of things. And Mark is the original source for the other three gospels. Well, and especially Luke and Matthew. But also the thing that I found really interesting was that we believe it's Peter's recollections. So Mark compiled it from Peter's sermons. And so it's really like an up close and personal view of Jesus. And when you think about Peter's personality, he was so like brash, and he was always like putting, you know, the wrong foot forward and saying the right thing and then the exactly wrong thing. And I love that he lets the view of Jesus kind of unfold through the book, so that you sort of start, and I, you know, we're very familiar with the concept, no matter what you believe, we're familiar with the concept that Christians believe that Jesus is the Son of God and is God himself. Like, people understand that that is a concept, but there was no concept like that back for those folks. Jesus was the carpenter from Nazareth, and they were hanging out with him. And then he said, "Peace be still," to the waters, and they stopped. Like, or he said to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven." Like, and you can sort of see it all through Peter's eyes, don't you think?
I think so. You see it, and the thing about seeing it through Peter's eyes is you're seeing it. It's very raw in the sense that it's really coming from the man who would sit there and his mind would be thinking, who is this in front of me? And I think that's one of the big questions that Mark is trying to answer. Who is this? Mm-hmm. Who is this guy? And I think it's very clear as you go on, you begin to see him calm the storm and heal the leper. And he begins to cast demons out. And wow, he has power over nature. He has power to heal. And then he forgives sins. Like, who is this guy? And you can almost be a sense in which I'm reading the mind of Peter as he's looking at it for the first time. And we're being drawn into that in a very real way. So I know for me, that was very powerful as I read it.
You know, Mark had his own story, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
And we don't know the details of it, but he needs some forgiveness too.
Yeah.
That must have been a wonderful thing to hang out with Peter, who had screwed it up, and giving him hope, because Mark was not that wonderful himself.
He's not.
And, you know, the thing about Scripture that I find so amazing is that there's no, like, whitewashing of people. Like, nothing is sugar-coated. Like, there's no... Like, Peter just lays it all out there in a way that many Christians would find very off-putting. Like, he tells the whole story of how he denied Jesus. He tells the story about how, you know, he told Jesus he shouldn't go to the cross right after he proclaimed him as the Christ. Like, he puts, you know, he throws himself under the bus. Mm-hmm. And you can only do that if you know Jesus.
Yeah. So as you were saying, Steve, Mark would have been considered like a failure because he refused to go back out on the mission field. He had a problem with that. And yet here he is with Peter. And certainly at that point, he's going out with Peter. And I think Peter's story of sharing that with him, what a comfort that could be to a guy like Mark, who could say, well, if Peter can be forgiven, I certainly can be forgiven.
Yeah.
And if I'm reading that, I'm going, well, if they can be forgiven, then I certainly can be forgiven. So, hallelujah. So it's a good thing.
So good.
Yeah.
By the way, excuse my using the word screwed it up. Barbara, I used to write your mother, and I loved her, by the way, and miss her. She adds a great attraction to heaven, as does your father. But I would always say in my emails to her, I'm praying for you, don't screw it up. And she always made a point when she wrote back to say, Steve, I'll try not to mess it up.
The way I was raised, Steve, was that we weren't allowed to say darn or heck.
Yeah.
Because everybody knew what they were really referring to.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, your mom, I didn't feel condemned or anything. I still laugh about it when I think of her doing that. She was not a condemning person.
No,
because she was so...
I bothered her that you said it. She just wasn't going to say it back.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
It's great.
Guys, I was impressed by the way you structured the study. I mean, there's probably a lot of people that, you know, maybe would like to do a get some people over and start a Bible study or something, but might be a little intimidated. And it really seems like you've, you know, led them by the hand. So they can, this can be a very easy thing for someone who hasn't ever done, led a small group study or something. Yeah. Talk a little bit about that. Yeah. Maybe we have to go on the other side of the break, but maybe you could get started on that.
Well, this is the format that we have for all these gospel-centered life in the Bible studies, and they are meant to be introducing folks to Scripture, to the Bible, who haven't really interacted with it or might be off-put by it or don't know what to do. And I will, be happy to get back to that.
Well, we'll do that on the other side of the break. Most people have a high view of Scripture, at least Christians, but don't study it very much.
Exactly.
And this book will be helpful. And for a small group at church, it'd be a wonderful study. The title of the book is Mark, Life-Changing Power Through Jesus. And when you do it, a small Bible study in your church, make sure you invite some unbelievers. And for heaven's sake, be nice to them when they come. Guys, don't go anywhere. We're coming back.
Hey, thanks for listening to Steve Brown, Etc. And if you're enjoying the show, would you help us let others know about it? You can share a link, click subscribe on our YouTube channel, or drop us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Thanks much.
Hi, this is Steve Brown, and I'm excited to tell you about a new offer from Key Life called Living with Steve. Let me tell you the way it works. I travel with you wherever you go. If you need an entertaining conversation or even a sermon, there I am. That's the good news. The bad news is that it cost $1 million. But wait, there's good news. You can get everything I've just described with the Key Life app. And for a limited time, it's not $1 million. It's free. Try it now at keylife.org/app. Hey, thanks for spending time with us. We were talking about the Bible before the break. We're talking to Angelo and Barbara Giuliani, and their book is on the Gospel of Mark, and it's a great study guide. And I didn't give you much time to spend some time talking about that, but we really have kind of gotten behind on Scripture in church. I mean, we think it's a good book, and we read it and occasionally, but it, mostly it's intimidating, isn't it?
I think so. Yes, I think that is a great word for it. And but if you take the time to read it and actually talk to other people with it, like if it's, you know, you combine God's word with God's people and you come up with just like the most amazing insights. And then you can really see how the Holy Spirit speaks to you through it. Like, this is the voice of Jesus. And that's really what I would love that people could do with this study of Mark, is that they would just hear the voice of Jesus talking to them, talking. One of the things about this study that I had never noticed in Mark before was how many desperate parents are featured in Mark. There are so many parents who bring their troubled children in Mark, and they throw themselves at Jesus's feet. And I'm a desperate parent. I'm a desperate grandparent. Like, I don't see any way to meet the needs of my family and my grandchildren without the life of Christ flowing into them. And so it's just amazing to me that every time you go through a gospel, for instance, you see like more of Christ and you see more of his love, more of his care, more of the challenge that he is. And yeah, and that's really what I would love for people to take away, that it would be, it would connect to their actual lives and they would see that Jesus is right there with them through their actual lives.
And Angelo, as a preacher, don't you delight in seeing the lights come on when people cock their heads and think, I never thought of that. I've never
I always want to get the amens and the hallelujahs.
Yeah, right. Well, Presbyterians don't do that very well.
I know. I come back from Africa and I have to realize, oh, but the frozen chosen. Here I go. So
they nod, though, thoughtfully.
I will say, though, one of the things that we've done with this format, we brought it into our church Sunday school hour, and it really has provoked much more discussion the way it's written, because you read the scripture and then you talk about it. But then there's an article that goes a little deeper into some of those themes. You come out of that. And then basically from that, there's more of a pointed discussion on that theme and then application exercises. And what we have found is that it, as you said, it's not as intimidating for people because they're all doing it together. And each actual lesson carries its own. So if you miss one, you haven't missed everything. You can come back two weeks later. Yeah. So that's been great in our church. Our people have really responded to that, feeling a part of the discussion, but having it also led in a way that, you know, edifies the Lord, but then also applies to your life personally. We continue to do these in our Sunday school classes, this format. Yeah.
I often think that people, when people become a Christian, I know this happened for me. You know, here was my faith and here was this turning point in my life, which I desperately needed. And then here was me doing my life. And I had a really hard time connecting the gospel on a day-by-day basis to my regular life. And I think that when you're reading the word, when you're reading the gospel, then all of a sudden you have the Spirit speaking to you about your regular life in a way that's really different than just trying to, like, to me, without the Bible, without God's word speaking directly to your heart, it's going to be awfully hard not to just do the Christian life in your own power and strength.
Yeah.
Like, because it's the word that convicts you. It's the word that shows you, like, hey, maybe you shouldn't have said that. Like, maybe you need to repent. Maybe Jesus is a bigger person than you thought. Maybe, you know, peace be still is his words for you today. It's, to me, the difference between being in, listen, you know, reading the Bible and studying the Bible versus not studying it is the difference between knowing about Jesus or walking and talking with Jesus. And even after I became a Christian, I would say, like, I read through the whole Bible and I was like, well, I don't really know what to do next.
Yeah.
So then when I was in trouble, I would read a psalm.
Yeah, it's not an answer book. It's about relationships.
Which was actually okay. But it was when I started studying the Bible that, and I started with the Gospel of John. And that's when I felt like I had a friend in Jesus, which is what we all need and have.
By the way, the Bible, in a real sense, was all written by Jesus, who's the Word.
Absolutely.
So it shouldn't surprise you that when you go to the Bible, you find Jesus there. And the words are then applied by the third person of the Trinity in a way that's absolutely astounding. It's, in fact, how I became a spiritual giant. We'll talk about me when we come back.
Hey, Hello, this is Pastor Jerry Q. Perry's again, and I'd like to take a moment to ask you to pray for and give to Key Life. When you pray, ask for wisdom and blessings, and that Key Life will continue to spread the message of God's grace for many, many years to come. And if you can give, please give as generous as you are able. And you know that we will be faithful with every gift, big or small. Thank you.
When Christ promised we could live life to the full, he didn't just mean eventually in heaven, because Jesus didn't come to save us from our humanity, but to restore it. Life with a capital L. Find it now on keylife.org/store.
What if you could start your day by hanging out in God's Word and with some of the most significant theologians, authors, and pastors ever? That's the idea behind the one-year devotional, God with Us. Find it now on keylife.org/store.
Hey, thanks for spending the time with us here. By the way, do you get our free weekly email, Key Life Connection? You can sign up for it today, and the Giulianis will send you the answer key for all the discussion questions in the book on Mark.
That's true.
No question. Go to keylife.org/subscribe.
You guys, my question is very pedestrian, but I wondered when you were writing the study guide, if you had a particular amount of time in mind that you thought that this would take, like for a small group or something like that. And obviously, I recognize a lot of that depends on how in depth the questions are that, you know, as people are sharing and that kind of thing. But I found this whole, and I know there have been other ones in the past, but, you know, there are so many great, really outstanding Christian writers that write these great books, and it seems like everybody does a study guide now. And so the small groups, you know, in the churches are saying, let's study so-and-so's book, and there's a great study guide with it and everything. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all. I don't mean to imply that in any way. But this is just that simple. It's here's the book of Mark. It's God's word, and we're going to read it, and then we're going to talk about it, as opposed to studying a topic thing that somebody else wrote, and then we're all going to participate in how we think that gets applied to my life versus your life and that kind of thing. I just think this is great. I mean, not just for a small group, but just taking it home and sitting in your own home in the evening and saying, okay, I'm going to read Mark chapter 1 as opposed to another Christian book by another Christian author. Anyway, that's my PR for it. But on the timing part of it, were you thinking in terms of, you know, because Sunday school curriculums and all of that kind of stuff always have like, okay, for the next 12 weeks, we're going to study this and, you know, that kind of thing. Is it, were you even remotely thinking in that, you know, in that vein?
Yes, we were. And also, thank you for saying, I didn't know if I should raise that about Christian books versus the Bible. Since I'm an author, Steve's an author.
Right.
And actually, my day job is producing Christian books.
Yeah.
So
don't put them down, okay? You need the job.
I don't want people to stop buying Christian books, but I will tell you that I would always prefer a small group would do a Bible study. And I'm always hoping that a Bible study like this would meet the need of our moment now, where people have more limited time, where they're not coming. You know, I still go to a woman's Bible study. I do my little questions a couple of days before we have that whole thing, but that's kind of going out of style. People just don't have the time. And this is meant to be accomplished in like one sitting or two. In our church, we think an hour and a half. And I think we have like little, maybe we don't have little time things on these, but
you do.
Lots of times, because when we do it with our Sunday school in church, our adult Sunday school, and the teenagers have done them as well, that the part with the reading the Bible, the discussion questions, and the article takes up the whole hour. And then the next time we meet, we'll do the activity.
Yeah, the application piece.
Which, because if you don't do that, then sometimes you just sort of get stuck. It just depends how much time you have. But I, you know, my mom and dad were the founders of Surge, which is a mission agency, and they were known for their grace-oriented renewal materials. And so people would go through some of those materials, and then they would always say to my mother, well, what are we supposed to do now? And my mom would always say to me, can't they just read the Bible? Like, couldn't that be next? And I think that stuck in my mind, because back to, like, you know, going through a reading plan, I don't get much out of that, the Bible, that way. Mm-hmm. Although I do pray through the Psalms every morning that I can. But I think you need some guidance. You need some help. You need somebody explaining to you, like, the gospel and how it applies here and how it applies to your exact life. And I think when people do that, they see that the word is so powerful. Like, if people knew how powerful it was, they would be doing this all the time.
Yeah.
Because it really is life-changing. Mm-hmm.
So good. Angela, before we go, I want you to tell us, I ask you, you don't stay home very much. I hope you have a good associate in your church. But tell us a little bit about, you were talking about Africa and some of the countries where you're involved. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very excited. When we planted our church in 2006, 20 years ago, we're getting ready to celebrate. God opened up a door at the same time. No church planting association would say you can plant two churches, one here and one in Africa at the same time. But the Holy Spirit had a different idea. So while we were planting a church here, we were also planting in Swaziland and Eswatini. We were working there with a church who had a vision for planting churches. And out of that came just an amazing ministry that started up with, originally we built a school in an area where there was no school, began to do, you know, digging boreholes for crops and everything. But then eventually what happened was people had gone on teams with me over there, got a vision to go over themselves. And so we sent our first couple as missionaries over there. His wife had been there before. Very quick story. There are a lot of deaf in Eswatini, probably the highest percentage per capita in the world. And there's reasons for that. But she wanted to be able to relate to them. So she came home. She learned English sign language, didn't realize that there's a Siswati sign language, but they went out on the mission field together. And in 6 months, God gave them the ability to learn Siswati sign language. And within a year, there was now a deaf church that God was using in a very powerful way, going into what was called the deaf primary and high school, where maybe one or two teachers knew how to sign. Parents didn't know how. They were the lepers of their society. And over the last 5 years now, we are seeing children in that school come to the Lord. We just did 26 baptisms with the high school students there. They now are able to fight for their rights. And it's just been an amazing open door that God's opened up.
So, how can Angelo, where can people get information on this?
We have our website is called comfortforafrica.org. You could go right on comfortforafrica.org, and there'll be information about that.
Great.
And then also information to the missionaries who are part of that.
Hey, you guys, I don't know where this hour went. This was fun.
It went fast.
And we learned a lot, and we grew a lot. Thank you for taking the time to be with
us.
And listen, keep working on these books, and we'll keep talking, okay?
Sounds great.
Hey, guys, we're going to come back and tell you who we're going to do it unto next week, so don't go anywhere.
Hey, thanks for listening to Steve Brown Etc. And if you're enjoying the show, would you help us let others know about it? You can share a link, click subscribe on our YouTube channel, or drop us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Thanks much.
What if you could start your day by hanging out in God's Word and with some of the most significant theologians, authors, and pastors ever? That's the idea behind the one-year devotional, God with Us. Find it now on keylife.org/store.
This is Pete Allinson, and if you're a guy, I want to show you how to recover and reclaim an intimate, growing relationship with your Heavenly Father. Check out Like Father, Like Son, How Knowing God as Father Changes Men. Available now at keylife.org/store.
Believer, I want you to remember that where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And you will run out of sin before God runs out of grace. Grace, the real good news of the gospel. Find it now on keylife.org/store.
Great hour. Those guys are the real deal, by the way. I've worked with Barbara a number of times with books that I've written, and Angelo blows me away. And you know something? For those of you who are not believers and don't want to have anything to do with the church, cut that out. You just don't understand. 10% of us are some of the meanest, most condemning, guilt-producing kind of people in the world, and I know that. But Rotary Club has 20%. and you ought to show up because 90% of us are represented by people like Barbara and Angelo, the real deal, who care, who genuinely care, who go through some tough stuff, who don't pretend to be better than they are, who are clear about their own sins and understand the gospel and the difference that it makes. And you'll have the smell of Jesus when you read their book and the other books produced by New Growth Press. Check it out. This book is Mark, Life-Changing Power Through Jesus. And that's what the Bible does. And I'm always saying that's what made me a spiritual giant. And always people laugh. And I'm really sensitive. And it hurts when they do that. Who are we going to have next week?
Next week we have a newcomer to Steve Brown, etc. His name is, at least I think he's a newcomer, but you know, I'm old, so I forget things.
We've been doing this a long time.
Anyway, his name is Jacob Coyne, and his book is titled The Secret Life of Christians, How to Live Authentically. This is the best part, especially when no one is watching.
You know, that's kind of important.
How to live authentically, especially when no one is watching.
You know, we're all on show all the time.
Yep.
And that includes Jeremy and John, too. I mean, we're professional religionists.
Jeremy's always on show because he's on stage all the time.
But you got to say, what do you do when you go home and nobody's watching? I get drunk and
full Noah.
Hey, man, you got to invite some people over. Man.
That's a joke. Don't send letters. We're going to come back next week. Same time, same place, and it's our fond hope that you'll join us again. Between now and then, don't do anything we wouldn't do, and that gives you a wide, wide berth.
Someone needs a wider berth.